Yogi, always great having you on the show. How's life treating you and the family?
Life is good. Thank you for having me on. I was bummed I didn't see you over the weekend, though. I took a quick peek. Well, you don't have much of a halftime in spring games. So I'm sorry we didn't get to see each other in person, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I stared you down a couple times, but you were busy doing your job and stuff like that, Yogi.
Hey, you've got the keys, man. Just walk on in. It was fun, man. I don't know if you know this, but I think I might have texted you, but I brought our oldest son with me, Eugene.
Was that his maiden voyage to Autzen?
It was, and it was our maiden voyage, just like dad and son, solo kind of hotel flight. It was as memorable of a football experience as I've ever had, and you know, I've gone to title games and Heisman's, but this was cool because we dropped in and saw Kevin Carroll, who is a big mentor of mine up in Portland and an author that your audience might know. We saw Taylor Cavanaugh, who you might remember from the Oregon State Beavers as a receiver, who's a production guy now. He's got a beautiful production company. And then we went and saw the Silver Falls and walked behind a waterfall and got a tour of the facility. Nate and the staff over at Oregon was great. And then you're on the field for the runout. Like, I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Like, we just up every night till 10, watching movies, probably eating a little bit too much bad food. We went to Abby's famous pizza, Justin Wilcox's favorite place, twice because he loved it so much before and after the game. So it was epic, man. Eugene really was amazing to us and to him, and really grateful for that to be, you know, my last Pac-12 spring game broadcast as I know it in the role that I've had.
Now you're going to get me all misty, but that's a story for another day. Talking with Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. You know, I'm going to go there because even though you're a Pennsylvania native like me, the Pac-12 has kind of become part of your being, and I'll die on the hill. It's the greatest top-to-bottom college conference like ever. I'm a little angry about this, but as all this winds down, Yogi, like, what is going through your head and your heart?
It's a really fun question. And I got no problem answering it. Today has been an interesting day because contractually it's my last day under the deal that I, you know, signed 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
So it's just unique. And I didn't even really think about it till my boss, Larry Myers, called me. Really thoughtful. And he said, hey, I think this is your last day, like on the payroll. And I just told my wife like an hour ago. I was like, wow, I didn't even think about that. So I've kind of been sitting in it. So you're getting me in a fun moment. The coaches I kind of grew up with, a lot of these guys. You know, Dan Lanning was a GA at Arizona State my first couple of years in the Pac-12. But I had also been visiting USC 20 years ago when I was playing, more than 20 years ago. You know, then I got on Pete's staff. So I've been around this league for over 20 years. So today, on this, you know, unique day, I'm just reminded of the people, you know, to be honest with you. You know, I referenced people that took care of my son and I in Eugene. People have taken care of me my whole time out here. And that's where I net out, like called some great games. I can remember Darren Carrington, Justin Herbert's first start, and Dakota Prukop against Colorado. Sorry to bring that memory up. But I can remember big plays EA. I mean, there's so many things. Marcus's Heisman speech. Like, there's so many moments, right? But to me, it's about the people, right? Like, Marcus wins a Heisman, and Mark Helfrich makes time to do an interview with me. I've been in the Heisman many times. No head coach ever took the time to do an interview with me after the player won it. But he did. He came out from behind wherever he was and spent time with me, right? It's the people. I mean, Nick Aliotti, I can remember being on the USC staff. I told my son this story with Nick over the weekend. I remember getting the elevator as a coach and knowing the legend of Coach Aliotti and being like, oh, my God, I'm so nervous right now. I'm 22. He goes, hey, son, what's your name? You know, and shakes my hand and never forgot my name since then.
Of course he did.
Or interviewing Chip Kelly for the first time, and now Chip being one of my closest friends in the profession. Like, I just go down with the people, people that people know, and countless people behind the scenes, Jim Thornby, Josh Issue, Kyle Reichling, like Michael Molinari, like, you know these people. And they've allowed this thing to go. So I go there because there's not a new conference that's starting. And of the 200 or so employees that we've had, everybody's not going to land in sports or around sport. I hope they all do, but it's probably unlikely, definitely collegiate sport or within a conference. So, you know, I just think about the people, man. I'm so grateful to so many people that allowed me to live a dream. Guys like Ted Robinson, who truly changed my life as a broadcaster and a father and a husband. Like, it's, I could go on and on. You, I mean, we don't meet unless I'm doing this. Like, it's really, it's the people.
No, it's been, it's emotional. It is. Because, like I said, it taps into your soul. All right, before I break down and weep, let's get to Saturday. Dylan Gabriel, I know, Yogi, you can only get so much from a spring game, but especially when it comes to quarterback play, you know, your involvement with the Elite 11. Just when you get to see him up close and you see the kind of arsenal at his disposal here with Will Stein's offense, just how high do you see his ceiling running this offense entering the Big Ten?
Well, you have to look any further than, like, reality the last couple of years. You know, over 500 yards of offense last year in the best conference in the country. Look at all the players drafted. Not easy, but this system is so unique. Huge fan of Will Stein. Love Dan Lanning's culture that he's built around his DNA traits of connection, toughness, growth, and sacrifice. And I think Dylan Gabriel comes in, and he's done what a lot of people have done in this era of college football as a quarterback who transfer. The first mode of operation is to build relationships. And that's what he's done. You know, from getting a van to drive the receivers around, or the O-line has dinner, to putting in extra work, to pouring into, you know, his teammates, he's done that. So I think that's the first thing that probably stood out. I go back to the Texas game a year ago is probably his greatest moment, I think, that I've seen in this group. Excuse me, as a player, climbing the pocket, you know, inside a tight red zone area and making a throw that seems impossible to win the game. I think he can do everything. He's different than Bo, different personality than Bo, different player than Bo, but is accurate, has tremendous discernment, which I think is top three trait at the position. I think his instincts are natural. Go back and just watch that last drive against Texas in that incredible rivalry game last year, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then I love the system. It was an offensive line that you got two of the best tackles in America. You've got a receiving core that's the best that I've ever seen in over 20 years at Oregon. And Coach Alieri agreed with in his time, which is, I don't want to say put a number on it, but it's more than 20. They got a tight end room that's real. Running backs are efficient. Jordan James, chance to be the next one. No waiting till when he comes back. And it's a healthy quarterback room. So he should thrive. This is a team that is a CFP contender, legitimately. They're not going to have to adjust to the Big Ten style of play that we've all heard about. Like, the Big Ten and their opponents are going to have to adjust to what Oregon does. And they could do it physically. They could do it with their mentality. They could do it with their scheme. And Dylan Gabriel as the QB, I think he's going to thrive. And he should. He should. This is what the system is.
And by the way, for folks who forget, Dylan Gabriel got the ball with about a minute and 10 to go against Texas, drove him the length of the field and won the game. I mean, you know, that, in that Red River rivalry, that's a big deal. Talking with Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. So I want to just get, you mentioned Bo Nix. He ends up going 12th to the Broncos and gets to work with a guy like Sean Payton. When he got here, I've said this a million times, 2 years ago, nobody was jumping up and down doing back handsprings. Nobody predicted what he would become. So just, you like a good story. How about his that's been etched in work, maturation, and the growth to end him up to become an early first-round pick?
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, if you're looking for a good story, just go on YouTube and put in Bo Nix, Ted Johnson. You'll see the feature that we did on those two guys. That,
yep.
I mean, is award worthy. And I just go back to when I saw it across the ticker of Bo Nix going to Oregon, I called him because he was, you know, a guy I knew at Elite 11, and I try to get connected to those guys. But the guys that would kick out to, for instance, the SEC, you just don't talk to as much just because of the nature of life and, you know, calling games on the West Coast. And I called him and I said, "Hey man, like, congrats! This is awesome. Can't wait to call your games." And he's like, "I'm on my way out there. I've never been." And I was like, "What? You've never been? So how did you pick Oregon?" And he goes, "Well, I wanted a place where I thought we could win at the highest of levels, and I wanted a place that I thought would allow me to have fun at the highest of levels and be the most authentic version of myself at the purest of levels." I can remember that phone call like it was yesterday, and all those things were accomplished. You know, like, he went to Auburn, and he wanted to win there more than anybody ever. This is a kid who grew up there. We all know the story.
Yep.
But I think the sport became a job to him, and he had to wear the brunt of it in the South. His dad shared us in the interview. It's on my podcast, where he talks about, you know, in the South, how challenging it is, because people are going to blame you, they're going to love you, but they're not going to treat you like they would treat one of their own kids, because it's a little irrational. And I'd have no problem saying that to a fan of Auburn's face. Like, it's just the truth. Said it many times. And Boris said it. Doesn't mean that he didn't have a good experience. It just meant that it wasn't the right experience. It came out here, and I think that Dan Lanning and Kenny Dillingham and then Will Stein just allowed him to play free. And I wrote the book, Five-Star QB, about guys and expectations that are set by others. Bo's in it. That's what happened to him. He was going to be his dad. He was going to be the guy. And then he beats Oregon in the opener on national TV with Herbstreit and Fowler, et cetera. It's his narrative and the standard that is just really unrealistic when you look at reality. And I love that you looked at the Heisman, or you looked at the quarterbacks that were drafted from the West Coast. The one commonality, whether it was Caleb or Jane Daniels or Penix or Bo, is they had some sort of adversity, and they got to their second place and got to reset to a degree. Maybe not Caleb, but everybody else. And I love that, because it should be a story that's celebrated and told to players that are on their second school or their third school or wherever it is, that you get that opportunity. And, you know, he's one of my favorite guys of all time, man. He really is. Just thrilled for him.
By the way, breaking news, Yogi Roth says SEC football fans could be irrational. I did not see that coming.
Okay, let's edit that. They are irrational. All of that. How about are?
Okay. The last thing I want to get to is Oregon State, because, man, I just feel for them. I mean, this is a program that established themselves as a legit quality power conference program. Then the earth fell from underneath their feet. Jonathan Smith's at Michigan State. I think Scott Barnes did well to immediately hire Trent Bray. Yogi, what do you make of what happened in Corvallis? And if by promoting Bray, maybe add a little element of stabilizing?
Yeah, you're gutted. You know, what did they do wrong? You know, like, right. They beat Oregon 2 years ago, right? They were a top 15 team for a large part of the season. What did they do wrong? Like, they didn't do anything. Like, it's one thing if, like, you are riddled with sanctions, or if you are leading a program without integrity. They didn't do anything wrong. And I've been to a lot of small communities in college football. Oregon State can rival any of them. It's just as fun, just as quaint, just as cool, just as beautiful, just as, you know, full of pageantry. The fall foliage is amazing in Corvallis, as it is in Auburn, as it is in name the small town in college football. They're all over the country. It's what we love about college football. But whether it was their media size or whatever it is, their footprint, they kind of get left out of moving on to these super conferences. Now, there's a lot that goes into that, whether it's the failings of, you know, the Pac-12 to solidify a rights deal that would keep everybody together. There's a ton that we could talk about, but their reality is what you referenced. Now, within that, and I had Trent Bray on my podcast to talk about it, what is the selling point? The selling point is that, what do you want as an athlete? You want to do, I believe, a couple things. You want to, one, in some order, get to the NFL. You want to, in some order, get to the playoff, and you want to get paid. It'd be nice to get a degree. I think that's honestly what recruits are saying, in some fashion, for the most part. You can do all of those things at Oregon State. I think based on the schedule I'm looking at, they got a chance to get to double-digit wins. They'll have the most fandom in the country following or cheering them on, or at least as much as Washington State. I think they're going to be beloved this season by the country. Because nobody disagrees that they got absolutely hosed in the situation that we're currently in right now. So you look at that, and outside of the Oregon game, what game aren't they going to be favored in? I mean, I don't know, Washington State, we'll see at the end of the year, but they have a better roster. And I know they've lost some players, but I still think they have a better roster than the teams they're going to play. So you got a chance to get to the playoff if you can go win. You're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to compete at that level. Their NIL collective, from what I told, is healthy. And you can get the NFL. Look no further than what's happened over the last couple of years. So I like that they kept Trent Bray on for a lot of those reasons, similar to Deshaun Foster at UCLA. Keep the roster intact, hang on to as many guys as you can, and then grow from within with the way they have with their staff. I think it's impressive. I will be rooting them on all season long for sure.
Folks, he's Yogi Roth, always generous with his time, bringing his unique lens to our show. Keep up on Twitter, at Yogi Roth. Yogi, much appreciated as usual. Wishing you and the family well. Obviously, I'll be following to see where you land because I'll always look forward to our conversations. Really enjoy it and really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Back at you. Lots of love.
All right. Take it easy, Yogi.